If you love to hunt, you know how it's a special way to connect with the environment, and it also provides a service in helping to manage the populations of various game species. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network. I was fortunate to learn to hunt from my father and somebody, I think, Tom Heberlein, I think, from Rural Sociology, once said he could always tell if you hunted or not. If you were a male from Wisconsin in a rural area and your dad hunted, you hunt. That's pretty much the way it is. But not as many people these days are from rural areas necessarily, and I didn't grow up that way. Judith Sears Poisson, my producer, didn't grow up in a hunting family, so she's never hunted. Folks like her, it can be hard to learn later on in life, but the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has a great opportunity around the state, as a matter of fact, for people who would like to develop those skills right now. And Keith Warnke is with me today. He's the hunting and shooting sports coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Keith, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Larry. It's great to be here. Well, let me just mention one thing before we get started, that Wisconsin DNR is offering these classes in a great big partnership with Madison Area Technical College and the other technical colleges around the state. So if not for their generosity, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Why is it important for our managing our wildlife that there are experienced and ethical hunters in the state?
Well, it's important because we've got laws, regulations, and conservation that are really implemented by the citizens of Wisconsin, and it's that knowledge and that direct connection to the resources that make it that much more important.
And you, obviously, you talked about the partnerships that you've developed here, which I think are great, to offer classes for non-hunters who want to learn. First of all, you call the course Hunting for Sustainability. Why that?
Well, I guess it's a bit of a play on words, but certainly there's been this big movement recently toward local foods, sustainable living. I want to live closer to home, get my food closer from home. So that's one aspect of sustainability. The other thing we're facing is a projected decline in the number of hunters over time. So there's the other side of sustainability. We'd like to sustain the hunting heritage and at least sustain a reasonable number of hunters in Wisconsin, while also teaching people interested in collecting local, sustainable, free-range meat how to do that. And people can take this course to learn how to hunt or just to learn about hunting and how to be more sustainable and support hunting.
I had a look at the curriculum. It looks great. Describe that curriculum for us. What topics are covered?
We cover all the topics that people are going to need basically to hunt deer in the fall. We're going to be doing another one for turkeys in the spring. But the key is to find out what people want to know from us as experienced lifelong hunters. We don't know what it's like to get involved as an adult with less than the knowledge you need. So we're playing off of the participants in the class, asking them what they need. The second thing that we do is we try to bring in to every course dummy firearms or disabled firearms that don't work so people can get to learn to handle firearms. It's a big part of it. If you've never handled a gun before, it's a learning experience. The next thing that we do, which is really important, is we always bring food. It's important for folks to be able to try to taste wild game, see that it really is good, and even more importantly, I think, see that it's really easy to prepare. And then we go along through add-ons or field trips or additional experiences. We can teach people to shoot, teach people how to scout, look for a place to deer hunt, learn about deer habits and habitat, and then also teach how to butcher deer with a real, both virtually and real hands-on experience. And then at the end, if anyone's interested, we do offer, in most cases, the opportunity to participate in a deer hunt.
So you could actually go hunting as part of this class.
Yep.
Very cool. And the class, as you say, the class is designed for people who've never hunted, don't know about it.
Well, it's designed for those folks who've never hunted and want to learn, but we also last year in our pilot class had several hunters sign up who just wanted to learn more about hunting and more about sustainability, and they were a really great addition to the class to have their knowledge there too.
You say that this should be of special interest to locavores. I love that. I love that word. Why?
Well, talk about that. Yeah, and that's kind of an emerging term that's being generated sort of organically by folks who like to go to the farmer's market to get locally produced food. You know, they get free-range chicken eggs, free-range meat. They want to eat food that was produced close to home so that they can reduce the petroleum input to gathering their food. And, you know, if you want to be a locavore, Wisconsin's fields and forests are just jam-packed with deer and turkeys and all kinds of other game that can provide the local free-range food source.
Do a lot of adults who did not learn to hunt as young people want to learn now? Is there pretty good interest in this?
We believe that there is. And that's one of the things that we really are trying to find out by offering these courses is how much interest is out there and where is that interest and how deep does that interest run. I know that here on campus in Madison, if we offer a Learn to Hunt program, we get folks to sign up for it right away, and we've got a waiting list. So I think there's a good amount of interest out there.
Talking today with Keith Warnke. Keith is the hunting and shooting sports coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, visiting with him about hunting for sustainability and about the courses that are being offered, the hunting for sustainability courses across the state, actually, cooperation with a number of other groups, including our tech society, our tech programs. So I'm happy to have him along. Great to have you listening in, and I hope you'll join in with your questions. Are you interested in learning to hunt? What appeals to you about it? If you're interested in hunting, but maybe you're a little hesitant to start, we could talk about that too. And maybe if you're a hunter, who taught you? What was the most important part of that experience? As I said, I learned from my dad, and I'm sure a lot of people my age in Wisconsin, if they hunt, learned from their dad or their grandfather or maybe their uncle.
Yeah, something that we've just learned recently, most people are still learning from fathers, grandfathers, uncles. But last year, we sold a first-time buyer's license, and we surveyed adults who purchased this license, and we found out that these adults did not learn from their fathers and were not hunting with their fathers. They were hunting more likely with friends. Ah. So it's that peer-to-peer network that becomes important as well.
You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us with your question at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Nick in Green Bay is online, so let's go to Nick. Hi, thank you for calling, Nick.
Hey, thanks for taking me, Larry.
Yeah.
I think those classes are awesome because I grew up with I didn't have any parents, so I didn't have a father or anything. I'd love to hunt. I'd go hunting, but I'd be scared to get a deer because I don't want to waste the meat and I don't know how to clean it. I have no clue how to clean a fish or a deer. So I don't hunt or fish right now.
Yeah.
I got interesting. I just don't know how to do it.
Well, you'd be the perfect candidate, Nick, for a class. And well, there's Nick in the Green Bay area. For example, is there a class being offered in the Green Bay area?
Yeah, right now there'll be a class starting up in later September, I think, in Manitowoc at Lakeshore Technical College. You can check their website for the location and the times, or you can give them a call, Nick. And that's not too far a drive east of Green Bay.
No, that's awesome.
Thanks, Nick, for calling. Appreciate your call. And I think we have a link on my Facebook page to the course, and also probably on that link are the locations of the places where the course is being taught.
There are. Those in cooperation with Madison Area Technical College are available on that link. There are two. The one in Manitowoc at Lakeshore Technical College and one in Rhinelander at Nicolet College that you're going to have to search those individual college websites to find.
Okay.
We can get you those links, though.
Keith Warnke, our guest, join in again with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Looking forward to hearing from you. And so the class is sort of this time around is aimed at hunting hunting deer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And are there opportunities for talking about other kinds of animals as well?
Yes, we do. And we talk about hunting pheasants. We talk about hunting waterfowl, particularly geese early in the season like this when you have September 1st early goose hunt. We're going to do one of those for some first-time hunters this fall. We're going to try to. We also plan to put on a spring hunting for sustainability course, so we can get people out to hunt turkeys in the spring to try to cover the whole gamut and then continue. The key we're finding, you know, is having someone, an experienced hunter, available to continue follow-up with the participants in the courses, because once you've done it once, you've got a feel for it, you have some knowledge, you have some skills, but you need those continual touch points where you can get more and more comfortable until you've acquired your own equipment and you're up on your feet going yourself.
And that's what I was going to ask about, was the equipment. Of course, as part of the course, you probably make available for the deer hunting. I assume there'd be rifles or shotguns with slugs or something.
Right. We do. And what happens is everyone gets their own experienced individual mentor who will bring the equipment, or we can supply equipment for people to participate that single time. And it's that follow-up that they need, someone to willing to loan out the equipment and the clothing and whatnot that they're going to need to get started. So what we're thinking about doing is setting up sort of a lend-lease program where we have a cache of equipment available for novice hunters to check out or to take out and use until they're comfortable and have bought their own equipment, and then they can move into the mentoring stage.
Yeah, and the mentoring, I could see mentors also helping in the purchase of equipment, guns, and other equipment as well.
Yeah, they can certainly help give you guidance and advice on what you're going to need and what you...
and what you don't need.
Which a lot of us, all of us have a lot of.
That's exactly right. Are you getting feedback from participants so far?
Yeah, we had, you know, there were 14 people in this pilot course who went on to learn to hunt last year, and I think at least 6 of them bought licenses last fall to go hunting themselves. And some of the follow-up, you know, it ranged from people who need additional contacts and a little bit more mentoring to get them going, to a couple of guys who said, okay, you know, what kind of gun do I buy? And when we suggested what kind of gun they needed to hunt whatever they want in Wisconsin, when they went out and purchased the guns, purchased a license, went hunting on some public land, and killed and butchered their own deer last fall. So the feedback is, in general, very positive.
Yeah.
But the feedback is also giving us ideas on what to do as we move forward here. We need more experience handling and shooting guns. That was one of the things we improved upon this year. And we need to provide folks with that follow-up retouches so they can keep going.
Let's go to Pavan in Madison next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Great show. And I've been a hunter for 2 years now, and I've gone through the hunter safety classes, and that was a really great experience. And I was wondering if there are any online resources for me to learn about butchering my own deer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of online resources. In fact, we had thought about developing our own video for YouTube on how to butcher a deer, but then we went to YouTube and looked, and there's a lot of available material out there, and you'll have to sift through some of it. It's not the best, but you can really find a lot of information on how to butcher a deer, and if you want, you can sign up for this course, and we'll give you some hands-on experience.
Super. Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you should really take a look, especially somebody who's had a couple of years' experience now.
Yep.
Enthusiastic, could contribute a lot, but also learn a lot at the same time.
Right, and help us learn a lot about what we need, the knowledge we need to pass along for people to become comfortable.
Absolutely. I had a Facebook comment from Joel, who said the Learn to Hunt program is a great project, and I'm a mentor for a youth hunting group that does several events a year. One issue, however, has been that some people have treated this as an opportunity to go on a free guided hunt for limited draw hunts like bear hunting. I'm curious what you might have to say about that.
Well, yeah, first of all, Joel, thank you very much for being that mentor on those youth programs. And I think that there has been an issue of people may have wanted to use Learn to Bear Hunt as a way to go on a guided hunt. We have done our best through the application process these past couple of years to put a stop to that and make sure that we're getting people who are brand new to bear hunting with no other way to get involved.
For those who have never hunted, can you explain how different hunts differ from each other? Somebody wants to know, how does deer hunting differ from turkey hunting? Well,
how long do we have?
Yeah, there's a lot of differences there, but they're great differences. fun differences.
Well, you know, and variety is always the fun part. Even within deer hunting, there's many different ways to hunt deer. You can do the sit and wait method in a stand, or you can do the stalk and sneak method walking around. Turkey hunting is in the spring, most spring turkey hunting, when the birds are calling. So one of the differences there is you're calling to a bird that's calling back to you, and it's coming walking toward you, or you're using that as a locator. So there's different skills and techniques involved there, whereas deer are generally not calling back to you. You're trying to put yourself in their path of movement in order to ambush them is the most popular form of deer hunting now. Right. So, but the differences are really endless, and that's what keeps it so interesting all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith Warnke, our guest from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, as we visit with him about hunting for sustainability and the great courses that we have offered that you could take advantage of to learn how to hunt. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, on talking hunting for sustainability today with Keith Warnke from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He coordinates hunting and shooting sports for the DNR. Great to have him along. Thank you for listening in. Join in. Are you interested in learning to hunt? Or have you participated or experienced one of the classes, Learn to Hunt classes? What appealed to you about it? If you're interested in hunting but hesitant to start, give us a call with your questions or comments. Number 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Appreciate your calls here. And just on sort of on the other part of it, on the other, to take a different view here from John, a Facebook comment, who is raised on hunting birds, mostly ducks, but some pheasant and quail, some squirrel, rabbit. He gave up hunting. Kind of the thrill was gone for him. And he does not begrudge anyone who does hunt. It just wasn't for him. He thinks Wisconsin is likely better than most other states about hunting safety and conservation. When he was young, there was a nuisance of what he called city hunters, people from large cities who came and hunted on farmers' land without asking, you know, sort of unsafe, no respect for anything. And he notes in Germany you have to go to a hunting school in order to get a license. Not just anyone can get one. So he's wondering if you comment on any of that.
Yeah, well, and I completely understand that, you know, when hunting is just fades from something you're going to do, it happens. And the thoughts of continuing education or additional education for hunting, like they do in many other countries, are good ones. And it's what one of the things we're trying to provide with these Hunting for Sustainability courses is that continuing education opportunity for folks. And we have several other options for people to go through. There's bow hunter education, waterfowl hunting education, lots of classes out there that, in addition to this one, people can use to follow up.
Mark in Richland Center will give you a chance now. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. This question comes up with regard to peer-to-peer teaching of hunter practices, is that some of it, like the thing that you just mentioned, some of it is just plain stupid. And so how these classes can supervise the passing on of information, it's kind of crazy that in some places the deer hunt is still a rifle hunt when in the population density of certain counties, those rifles should not even be in the woods. And they're there oftentimes under the influence of alcohol. There are things called a deer drive where the guys are hoping to push deer through a pathway that is between two hunters that will shoot towards the deer, but they could actually be shooting through a zone that they don't even know somebody else could be there, or they could end up shooting at each other. Every year somebody ends up with a stray bullet either in their barn or even killing people. So some of what goes on out there is just so insane that lots of people won't even go into the woods during deer season.
All right, comment from you, Keith.
Well, safety is a very big priority, and he brings up a really good point when it comes to peer-to-peer teaching. And that's the thing that we're very careful to bring to this course when we're bringing in peers to mentor these new hunters, is we pick out and know ethical, safe, responsible hunters who can come in and teach the new hunters to be ethical, safe, and responsible hunters. It's a very good observation, and it's something that we're very aware of.
We have a number of people who want to join in. Let's go to Jay in Madison. Jay, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. Say, and I think you're just kind of touching on it, is just as far as the what sort of ethics are we imposing or just trying to establish with people? You know, being raised in Wisconsin, there's sometimes a very negative view of hunters because it's, you know, deer camp is nothing but drinking and then heading out to kill animals. And there's a lot more to that, obviously. I'm just curious what sort of ethics you want to impress on people.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's something we spend a lot of time in this course discussing. We use portions of the Green Fire video from Made About Aldo Leopold. We use portions of Sand County Almanac, and we use our own hunting ethics that we bring to the course to pass along and discuss ethics with folks who haven't hunted before. And really, you get some of the best questions you could imagine, things that you haven't thought about for years when you're trying to pass along your own ethics to someone else. So I think it's a really good experience and a great opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. And I would say that I would really, deer camps, not all deer camps are as described by our last caller.
Well, that's right.
By any stretch.
Right, and one of the things that we try to do are dispel some of those commonly placed myths that people come in with. You know, they want to know, what's your deer camp like? And we can tell them. There are, you know, some of our instructors who have deer camps all over the state that are nothing like what people have heard they're like. And that one of the best things to do is just invite them up, invite them along, and it really changes minds.
Randy in Madison, thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Great show. Say, I've got a couple of comments about a couple of previous callers. Number one was the previous caller that was talking about all the wild and crazy things that go on out there. But, you know, I'll have him know and everyone else know that compared to 100 years ago, where there was one-tenth the number of hunters, 10 times as many people got shot and killed. So comparatively, it's very safe out there. You know, because there's upwards of 600,000 to 700,000 people out there with rifles, and we might have one or two fatalities or three a year, and those are usually to heart attack. So it's really safe out there, for one thing. And the other comment I want to make is about the so-called quote-unquote city hunter, because let me tell you, country people don't have any they haven't cornered the market on safety. I've seen some pretty dumb things by any hunter out there. But once again, it's pretty safe overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a lot as hunters ourselves to make that big jump and big improvement towards safety. And our hunter education program really deserves a lot of the credit for instilling that ethic and instilling the importance of safety over the years.
Thanks again, Randy, for calling. I appreciate it very much. We got an email from Jay who wonders about participants in your class. Will they be trained to use climbing tree stands and the proper use of tree stands for deer hunting? That's good points.
Yeah, that's a good question. And we do talk about that, and we talk about the safety of using a tree stand. We don't recommend using the climbing tree stands in the course. We think that that is more of a personal decision as you get more specialized what kind of a stand you're going to use. But we definitely talk about the safety fall restraint harnesses and all kinds of stands. Whenever you're in a stand, you need to use the fall restraint harness.
Yep, absolutely. Mike in Racine, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yeah, I too want to defend existing hunters and really dispel the couple of callers that have kind of suggested that we're a bunch of slovenly, drunken people going to deer camp. In the area that I grew up, which is in Ross County area, the vast majority of the deer camps there are family deer camps. They're extended families. They're brothers. There's cousins. There's uncles, and in a lot of cases, aunts, and so forth. And the anything that goes on there is no different than what goes on in any large family gathering. And for the most part, they want to be safe. These are their family members. They're close friends and family members. They are using established techniques that have been handed down over the years and that have been established on hunting grounds that many of the people are very familiar with. You know, this if you just look at the statistics, if you put this number of people that we put out into the deer hunting woods, and you did that in any other activity, the fact that we have the low number of casualties that we do have, I think is a testament to the hunter safety programs that have been going on for more than 40 years in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yep, that's very true, and it continues to get safer and safer thanks to people like Mike, who are out there passing along the etiquette and safety.
And we have other classes, and you certainly are teaching that in the class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of the discussions that we hold, including the firearm safety and learning how to use them.
Matthew in Kenosha, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just got a question. Are you guys ever going to, utilize people's when they do an illegal harvest and you catch them in the act and you confiscate their firearms? Are you going to use that as part of the equipment to supply for these hunters for this learn to hunt?
No, not at this time yet. We have not looked into that, and there are various reasons for that. A lot of times the equipment isn't in very good shape, or it's designated for a different use. What we're trying to do is get people thinking about being a mentor, active hunters being a mentor to this new hunter, and using their own equipment, and then the new hunters, the novices, thinking about going out and purchasing or acquiring their own equipment to continue hunting.
Yeah, so there we go. Thanks for calling, Matthew. Along that line, kind of, we have a mentoring line here that you were talking about. Chris from Trempolo says, I learned how to gun hunt from my dad at age 12. Since then, I've taught one friend how to hunt and have taken up learning bow hunting on my own. I taught my fiance, who used to be afraid of firearms, how to gun hunt for deer as well. Now, as a family, we go small game hunting every year.
Right, and that's just a perfect example outside of the classroom of exactly what we're reaching for, is to try to provide that community support situation that people will have surrounding them in order to encourage and support their hunting. I like the comment on there as well about the person who wants to look toward taking a smaller animal rather than a bigger one, and the conservation benefits of that, and sometimes the flavor benefits and the ease of handling benefits of that. Those are the things that we're trying to teach in a supportive community. Someone's going to be there to help eat that, and they're going to want you to go back to the woods and get more because it's delicious.
Yeah. The first thing I hunted and harvested was a rabbit, and I can remember cleaning it and with my dad's help, and we had it for dinner, and rabbit is great.
Yeah, rabbit's delicious. I think the first thing that I hunted and killed was a squirrel, but the same kind of approach and start. Yeah,
you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Keith Warnke talking with us about hunting for sustainability and the courses that are being offered in this area. And since we've been a while, I want to have you go back through some of the things about the course. But before we do that, we had a question, from Facebook question from Madeline. It's been mentioned that many people learn to hunt from their dads and grandfathers, but where are the women hunters? Have there been many women taking these hunting classes? I'm personally interested in learning to hunt, but it seems like such a guy culture.
Yes, and Madeline, what a great question. There are probably about 50% of the people who signed up for this course last year were women, adult women, and we saw that, and we recognize that as a really important opportunity to offer, because you're right, it seems like such a guy culture. There's a great book out there, Madeline. It's called Call of the Mild by Lily McCullough. It's about a young woman starting to hunt on her own. We know that with our first-time buyer's licenses, that the people who truly bought a license for the first time last year under that first-time buyer's license, 50% of them were females, were women. So there's a great interest in there, and we're definitely trying to reach out and promote that for people to get involved. And once you get in and see the real inside culture rather than the maybe magazine culture, this is a really a family-oriented activity.
Yeah, it definitely is. Mike wonders if you ever offer a beginning hunter class using crossbows.
Oh, not that I'm aware of, Mike. That's a good question.
And maybe something to
consider for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. There. I mean, I forget the age now. What is it? You can bow hunt. Is 60 or
65,
something?
I believe, is the age you can use a crossbow.
Yeah, automatically use a crossbow.
In the bow season.
In the bow season, yeah.
You can now use a crossbow, I believe, during the regular gun season.
Oh, you can?
With your gun license.
With your gun license, yeah. Interesting comment from Amy, an email. She's kind of a bit amused by the desire to get the biggest buck with the biggest antlers. I always tell my husband to shoot a young one because the meat is tender and not as strong tasting. From a sustainability and herd improvement standpoint, what do you tell hunters about the desire for that trophy buck versus what is best for the herd and for eating?
Yeah, Amy's right. We do discuss that a lot. And what is best for the herd depends on the given situation. But generally in southern Wisconsin, harvest of antlerless deer is good. And it's good for population management. It's good for the health of the herd. And we actually get a lot of permission on lands to take these hunters we have this year to harvest antlerless only deer. And that's, from a sustainability standpoint, is better. It also provides more land access for us and provides that more reliable, better flavored meat for folks to take home. So we have a lot of discussions about that as well. And, you know, if people want to choose to become someone, a hunter who's after the biggest antlers, you know, there's nothing wrong with that from a personal choice standpoint, but most people who do that even realize you need to be taking antlerless deer off the landscape as well.
Yeah.
It promotes bigger antler growth.
It absolutely does. Chrissy and Delavan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We are a family of five girls, and my dad actually taught us all to hunt as we were growing up together through the years. And we had more fun doing that as a little family. My mom would stay home, but we would all say, you know, goodbye to her early morning, and there'd be a sea of orange in our living room, and Dad would take us all out to do our hunt. And we learned, you know, not only about wildlife, but we also learned patience and respect. And it's been great, and my husband hunted for the first time with me, so it's been a lifelong learning process for us, and continue to push that on to our children with, you know, consuming venison and some of the other waterfowl and stuff like that we've had. So I wanted to say thank you to the DNR for what they've done and giving our family a little piece of discussion around the table.
Well, thanks very much. Comment, Keith? That's great.
Well, and I think that's a great story to hear. I have two young girls myself who I take hunting. My wife does not hunt, so we're kind of in the same situation you were with your family, and it's really a great time for the family to get together and enjoy that support and enjoy what's out there.
And thanks very much again for calling. I very much appreciate that. Caller Dan wonders if there's a chance to address the big question of hunting in the class as to why do we hunt?
Yeah, why do we as a species hunt? And that is a really big question. We haven't spent a lot of time on that in the class previously, but if people want to know more about that, we can certainly talk more about that. It gets all the way back to, you know, our evolutionary history, our social history, where we came from and where we evolved. That's a big question to answer. We're certainly not going to tackle it here, but it could be done in class, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier some of the readings that you have in the in your class, but you didn't mention them all. Mm-hmm. And there are probably a few in there that people would say, oh, that I never would have expected that to be in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So go through that list.
Well, it's an interesting list, and it's my own just personal list of kind of favorites. There's Tovar Cerulli, The Mindful Carnivore, he wrote. He was a vegetarian who decided he wanted to teach himself to hunt. But then I get on the other side of things, and there's a book by Steve Chappell called Confessions of an Eco-Redneck, or How I Learned to Gut Shoot Trout and Save the Wilderness at the Same Time. It's great lessons in ecosystem conservation and preservation. Ted Carasotti wrote Blood Ties.
Yeah.
Really good book, and it explores the basically the petroleum costs of local eating, and Ted Carasotti decided that it made more sense for him to shoot an elk in his, you know, local environment than it did to eat soybeans. And he goes through this really good explanation. Aldo Leopold, the Sand County Almanac. Gordon McQuarrie is Tales of the Old Duck Hunters Association, Inc. And if you want to get a theory of why we really hunt, Gordon McQuarrie is the one to read. Last Child in the Woods is Richard Liu, very popular book recently. In Defense of Food by Michael Poulton is a good one. I mentioned The Call of the Mild by Lily McCullough. There's also one called Girl Hunter by Georgia Pellegrini. And then there's the My Green Manifesto by David Gessner. Now, there's a whole bunch of other books you can find yourself getting into, but those are some of the best ones from my shelf.
Yeah, they're wonderful read. And Gordon McQuarrie is probably one of my most favorite. Bill Stokes, of course, Gordon, back in the day when Bill was writing outdoor. But yeah. Gordon McQuarrie is that the tales, and you can get all of his stories in three book form, I believe.
There's three books that are the Tales of the Old Duck Hunters, Inc. Yep, and then there are a couple other Gordon McQuarrie collections. But really, just being able to get his sense of what it is to hunt in Wisconsin is—it's really something. A very good writer, been gone for more than 50 years, but.
Oh,
he wrote
wonderful.
Well.
Chris in Platteville, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, I love your program. I had an opportunity to participate in the pheasant hunt up at McKenzie Center up at Point Hen. And I'd just like to say that it was an awesome experience. I hunted when I was younger. Been awfully busy the last 30 years, but... it was incredible. They covered so much stuff from the safety, gun safety, the tour where they raised the birds. And I highly recommend it to anybody that wants to get involved in this type of thing that the DNR has just an awesome program going on here.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks a lot. And Keith?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. They do an excellent job up there at the McKenzie Point at Game Farm Learn to Hunt events. I'm glad you had a chance to take advantage of that.
And our listeners, if you are interested possibly in getting involved in the Learn to Hunt program, when's the next one? When is the next one?
We have a course open. We have two courses in Madison open for sign up right now that begin next Tuesday. You can still sign up for them this week on through next week, and there's spaces there. And then we've got more opportunities in Watertown, Fort Atkinson, Portage, Rhinelander, and Manitowoc coming up later in September.
And just go to the website. Actually, if you go to my Facebook page, I got a direct link to the Hunting for Sustainability. But if you go to the DNR website and just type in Hunting for Sustainability, it's going to pop up.
You probably find the link there, too.
Keith, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate having you with us today.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Keith Warnke is the Hunting and Shooting Sports Coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Great to have him with us. And I hope a lot of people are able to take advantage of those classes. I hope you are. Coming up next, Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports is here to share ideas for late summer and fall paddling. That's coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.